I was a practicing clinician working in a home health agency model. I wasn't allowed to dose my patients as per best practice guidelines. So I said, there's gotta be a way to do this better.
My grandmother and my grandfather, I started seeing them going in and out of long-term care. It started personal, seeing the sick side of 80, and now it's been exciting to be part of Fox.
Light bulb moment.
Like, that's a complete game changer.
You can see what we can do as a practice and as treating clinicians to really make 80, 85 look so much different than it did back that long ago.
And boil it down into one saying, it's quite simply this. It's be stronger, live better longer.
Welcome to Fox Rehabilitation's Live Better Longer podcast, the podcast dedicated to clinicians who work with older adults. My name is Jim Scheer, and on today's episode, I will be chatting with Yasmin Keats, Executive Director of Open Style Lab. And they are a really cool nonprofit organization committed to making style accessible for everyone, regardless of their cognitive and physical abilities. It's genius. It makes so much sense. Because yes, things can be functional, but why can't functional also be fashionable? So on today's episode of the Live Better Longer podcast, we will learn more about Open Style Lab. And I want to shout out my good friend Melody. You may remember Melody because she was a guest on the Live Better Longer podcast not too long ago. She appears on the episode, The Envelope Artist. Melody clued me in on Open Style Lab, and then she put me in touch with Yasmin. So Melody, thank you for making this episode possible. So before I speak with Yasmin and learn more about Open Style Lab, I've got some cool news to announce. Fox Rehabilitation, we are now treating in our 30th state. We are in the bluegrass state, the great state of Kentucky. And since we are approaching OT month, and I think this is a really cool episode to have prior to OT month because it involves a lot of occupational therapy. So speaking of OTs, speaking of Kentucky, you know, if there are any clinicians in the bluegrass state, any OTs in the bluegrass state, or PTs and SLPs, if you would like to be part of the Fox family, here's what you need to do. Go to careers.foxrehab.org. We treat older adult patients in 30 different states. And I said this earlier this week. I said 30 down, 20 to go. It's impressive. All right, so let me bring on today's featured guest. Please welcome to Fox Rehabilitation's Live Better Longer podcast, Yasmin Keats, Executive Director of Open Style Lab. Yasmin, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jim. Thank you very much for having me.
And we're actually in the same city.
Yes.
Although on normal weeks, you're over in England, correct?
Yeah, I'm based in London, UK.
Yeah, because I was afraid when the podcast was scheduled, I thought, well, like, will Yasmin even be up? But you're in New York City, so it's all fine. We're in the same...
I'm New York City. Yeah. I have the energy of the New York buzz. It's all good. It'll keep me awake for hours.
We're in the same time zone. That's a good thing. So my first question, Yasmin, is how long have you been with Open Style Lab?
I've been with the organization, I think 3.5 years now. But the organization that's actually been running since 2014.
Yes.
So quite a big legacy before I came and joined this wonderful team.
Yeah, you're celebrating a decade in 2024.
Yes, we are, which is amazing.
How did you hear of Open Style Lab, and then what drew you in?
This is an interesting story, which I think I need to kind of take you back a little bit to my childhood. When my mother was pregnant with me, she got chickenpox. Many people on your podcast may know this basically affects whatever nerves are growing at the time. So I was born with a physical disability on my right leg and lower back. I have nerve damage. So a lot of my life leading up, especially till age 15, was operations and different things that encompass a childhood of living with a disability. But there are also a lot of problem solvings that need to be done that design solutions could help with. And I came from a family that had a background in architecture, design, artists, sculptures. So the way in which we problem solved in my family was very much around beauty, design. How do we make this fun? How do we make this joyful? How do we make this beautiful and empowering? So just a little bit of background about me. When I was 18, I went to study architecture, which I didn't actually finish. I think most architects seem to not end up being architects, but it really set also a foundation of understanding around design theory and how to make and that process. But I also would love to say that I was the only physically disabled person in the school during my time. And this was very much predominantly because the school was not accessible. Like, I don't think you could even get through the door of the school without assistance. You know, if you want to get to the top of one studio, to the top of another studio, you had to go down 5 steps and up 5 flights again. This deep understanding that there is a problem, that there is a need, and there is something to having objects and the things that you hold and wear around you and assist you on a day-to-day have beauty and meaning and beautiful design, and what that does to not only the way in which you use it, but the way other people perceive you too. But also that there is a systemic problem within the education system, that people with disabilities can't even get through the door to, let's say, give a lecture, right, let alone be active designers within these many of these institutions. I was told about Open Style Lab, I think 5 years before I even joined. A very close friend of mine from childhood was at Parsons. Open Style Lab started at MIT in 2014, predominantly looking at how do we educate the next generation of designers to learn about co-design and inclusive design, and design with function and style and beauty together. We bring multidisciplinary teams together, so occupational therapists, physical therapists, engineers, and designers, and people with disabilities all together to co-design functional but stylish clothing, wearables, experiences, products. And this was taken to Parsons for where it was for about 6 years after MIT. And a friend of mine was volunteering with Open Style Lab during that time, and she called me up, I think for about 5 years, saying, yeah, you've got to connect with these amazing women. It's women-led. You know, they're incredible. You are Open Style Lab. Like, this is like, you've been preparing for this your whole life. And I think what I've also seen a lot in the community as I've, you know, been working at Open Style Lab and had more exposure and friendship building with the community is that many people who are born with a disability, when you're born with a disability, is the one minority that you can be born into without ever knowing anyone that has something like you within your immediate circle. And for better or for worse, my family is amazing. They're so supportive. But there were things like, you know, you're not disabled, or, you know, you can do anything you want. You're not, you know, you've no limits. But I think I kind of internalized that I didn't want to be associated with anything to do with disability. And it took me a lot of time to get to a point where I was, maybe because I didn't want it to define me, and I thought it being defining me would be bad, or, you know, I don't know what it is. I've started to recognize that this is a common thing for many people within the community who are born with a disability. And a lot of times it comes from, you know, a loving family that want to make you not feel different. But it took me time to even want to step into this area. I kept on dabbling in it, and then I maybe got like, oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, like when did you step into it? Was there a moment, or was it just a gradual progression?
I think it was a mixture of things. I think when I was around 26, I started to like explore this area a lot more. And I started also to recognize that there was a massive need, and I had the skill sets as well. And then it was during the pandemic, which was, I lost my job, and I thought, I'll check on this organization that a friend told me about, you know, 5 years ago. And I emailed them. And what was wonderful was that Open Style Lab had gone online too. So Open Style Lab is based in New York. I was not there, so I was able to work remotely for them. And my job for the first 2 years was as a researcher. So it was very much just talking to people within the community around how design affects their day-to-day life. What was quite powerful about that was that it was through talking with other people, it normalized it for me as well. And it was a very healing experience as well. It was a beautiful way to come into the organization. For 2 years, I was just talking to people and hosting workshops, focus groups around how design affects day-to-day life, how design affects perceived stigma or, you know, outside stigma, and how it affects well-being, social participation, confidence, and touching on many different areas. It was wonderful. And then after those 2 years, I went to run their summer program in New York when, you know, things started to open up in 2022. which again was a wonderful experience. And I think what was very unique also about that program was that over half of our designers had some kind of disability at the time as well. So it's just kind of, I kind of formed many different roles within the organization. And then I was asked to take over as executive director last February. It's nearly a year now.
Yeah. When you were going through your childhood, it sounds almost identical to the mission of Open Style Lab. So when they brought you on, were they like, Yasmin, you're perfect for this. You were born for this.
I don't know. I don't know if I saw that either, or, you know, can take credit for that. But it was just, it kind of felt, you know, I was looking, for me, I knew that what I did as a work was important, and that, you know, I was always quite multidisciplinary, and I didn't know how that fit in the career schedule. You know, I had many different kind of, in tech, I went and studied business and entrepreneurship.
No,
I had many different.
Do you see that was that was a blessing?
Exactly. And now I see how it all comes together. But at the time, I had so many moments where I was like, what am I doing in my life? But I think that's a lot of us in our journey as well.
Yes. And in our 20s. So I want to talk about the mission of Open Style Lab. It's to make style accessible for everyone, regardless of cognitive or physical abilities. And just hearing that mission is so cool, because I just think of things are functional, sure, but functional things are usually not stylish.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, who came up with that idea, because it's so cool, because it made me think, it's like, yeah, like, what I put on matters. It makes me feel a certain way. And if you just give me something that's functional and doesn't look cool, that can be kind of depressing.
It can. I mean, like, Jim, just think about, I don't know, if you go for a job interview or on a date, like, you think about what you're going to wear, and it really affects the way in which you move and interact and how you feel about yourself. And for some reason, that's often forgotten when it comes to things that are supposed to be functional. It was a group at MIT who came up with the idea. I think it was inspired by the Boston bombing. After that, it was a public service project originally, and then it turned into a nonprofit. But the mission really got taken forward by my predecessor, Grace Jun, who was a professor at Parsons, and really recognized pushing the mission of the importance of education in this area. And, you know, how do we design this beautiful and functional world if it's not being taught? And we started with fashion, we say style, fashion is trend, comes and goes. Style is about self-expression, identity.
I love that getting a style and fashion education on this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. And yeah, so it was around, you know, starting with this because people weren't doing it, and it wasn't, you know, wasn't such a common thing. And it's also a hidden thing. You know, when you see a staircase and a wheelchair, that relationship and mismatch is very apparent. But you never watch someone get dressed in the morning unless you're personally connected to them, or it is the person themselves, or maybe you're an OT or PT. That's why a lot of, I'm sure your audience will understand the needs for this as well. A lot of people, you know, you won't have that type of intimate relationship or experience around how difficult dress is for many people. So that's why we started with dress, but we've kind of, you know, we've done a lot of projects around, you know, furniture. We've done exhibitions. We've done products, tech. But that's why we started with fashion.
And yeah, do you have examples of how you have adapted style to make it accessible for everyone? Because Melody, our friend Melody, who hooked up this interview, by the way, she was telling me that take a person who is in a wheelchair. Sometimes a normal cut dress doesn't fall the way it's supposed to on them. So Open Style Lab is like, hey, like, let this dress fall a little lower to the ground because this person is in a wheelchair.
First, I need to kind of tell you a bit more about our summer program and how that is done. So
that was my last question. You're jumping the line, but if it makes the story better, let's dive into the summer program now.
Jim, can I interweave them together?
Yeah, so, no, this is your story.
What we allow on the summer program is a period of time. It can be like 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes even 10 weeks, where these multidisciplinary teams are really given a chance to experiment, explore, and dive deep into, you know, not only how do we make something that is for someone that's seated, that works for them, but how does it, you know, integrate into their identity, personality? How does it reflect their aspirations? And how do we work with the community in a way that they are involved at each step of the process? I think this chance to innovate has brought up many different ideas that have showcased what is possible in design in this area. And that's really what, you know, we're not a fashion brand. We're not producing these things at mass. We're focused on education. We're focused on showing what is possible to the industry, to the education community, to the community themselves, and, you know, allowing that space for dreaming, for, you know, empowerment. And I'll give you now some examples of like things that have come up. We've got a lot of ask for rain jackets. That's been one for wheelchair users. For example, one of our co-creators a couple of years back, he explained that when he, you know, he's super active, but when it was raining, he couldn't leave the house. Because even if he had a rain jacket, if rain came in, it would get behind the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be completely soaked. So it was looking at that whole dynamic. So we designed him this jacket, which, you know, part of it went over the back of the seat so that rain couldn't get in. It was shorter and cropped so that it didn't like kind of crumple in like the kind of thigh area. It had areas that were, you know, covered for the wheelchair so that when you're pushing the wheelchair, your hands don't get wet. There were many different design aspects that looked at the whole use case of how Hugh went about his day to day.
This is fascinating, by the way. You could read off examples all day, and I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I didn't know which one to pick.
It's such a duh moment, but inclusive design products are so scarce. But it makes so much sense. Once it comes out of your mouth, it makes so much sense.
But it's also like, it's not only about that. It's changing the way in which the design process is done for so many, you know, you design on a mannequin and then the body has to fit into whatever you design. None of us looks like a mannequin. And we have movement. We have temperature regulation. You know, there are so many aspects that go into it, which is why are we designing in this still this way of, you know, not really interacting with people or asking people to be part of the process. And I think that brings me to my next point of what I think is special about OpenStyle Lab. And I was having a conversation with actually an OT who's been part of our organization for the last 5 years. You know, what makes OpenStyle Lab special? What got you hooked? Because often if you are, and Melody will attest to this, if you join us in some way, you kind of stay in contact with us through many different phases and you become part of the OpenStyle Lab family. But he was saying it was the multidisciplinary. It was this being able as, you know, an OT and a PT, you know, you're on the ground all the time. You understand what are the challenges. You understand the needs. And you also understand, you know, with OT especially, you're looking at how to bring in the aspects of that person's life, of, you know, what they want to do and maximizing that as much as possible. So they understand the importance of style and beauty and how things feel to a person, whether it's, you know, even a memory of, you know, wanting to hold on to how they used to be able to dress if it's, you know, like been a accident in the middle of their life, which is a whole other topic. But it was like being able to work in teams where you have a designer who can, you know, help create, you have an engineer, you have the person who actually has the lived experience giving you feedback and being part of the process and even being making throughout it. That was life-changing and empowering as an OT, because often you see all these problems, you understand also such a range of patterns that you're seeing, but you don't have time or you're not trained to be able to design. And so that's where we see the magic happen, is when you put these multidisciplinary experts together and understanding, you know, where each person's value is, and that it's very much each person is learning from each other. It's not like one person is in control or in directing in this process.
That's great. We could end there, but I have a few more questions.
Okay.
So last year, you dug deep into shoes, right? You dug deep into footwear. Because I think there was a poll out and it was like, hey, what's the most frustrating thing to put on if you have a disability? I saw your stat, 47% said it was footwear, 26% said pants. So looking at footwear last year, what did you discover?
So footwear, we just discovered that there is, you know, footwear is different from clothing. It's a whole different ballgame. You know, you can't just add a zipper and a seam to footwear. Also, there is a lot of different considerations with footwear, that it's a safety issue, stability. I mean, clothing is also a safety issue with pressure sores and many different things. But with footwear, it's kind of feels like it's just maximized. So yeah, we were looking at, you know, leg braces, swelling, challenges with dexterity, how that affects footwear. And we took time to look into it just because it's new, you know, and it's we want to do it right. And so last year was around more exploration and really understanding the needs. Later this month, early April, we're going to bring out a white paper around what are the challenges with footwear, and giving a kind of a summary of our findings for the industry, for designers, for the community. And that is kind of a introduction to our summer program this summer, which is going to be around footwear. So that here we're going to make, and we're going to look at exploring and really digging into some of those challenges and how can we solve them through design. Our team is made up of like researchers, architects, designers, engineers. So it's a real broad multidisciplinary team within OpenStyle Lab of people with disabilities and without. And we just love to make and problem solve, but in a beautiful way.
Oh, yeah.
With friends and community and lots of food.
So your three pillars, research, education, and then to inform the community and industry. So how do you inform the greater community and the fashion industry and the healthcare industry?
I think through platforms like this. We recently gave a talk at the Met. My predecessor, Grace, has written a book of the last 10 years of all of the kind of knowledge within the co-design and inclusive fashion that OpenStyle Lab and herself have explored. And last year, we gave a talk at the Vogue Business and Sustainability Summit. We've started to see a lot more kind of, I think, awareness around the importance of this subject. We've collaborated with institutions such as like the Cooper Hewitt, where we did an exhibition around some of our garments. And one year we even created a hackability toolkit where we looked at how do we make making accessible. So how do we make making for people who, you know, maybe have challenges with dexterity, being able to sew, being able to cut, being able to add pockets wherever they like. And this is in the Cooper Hewitt shop. So there's many different ways in which we try to raise awareness through different speaking events, conferences, platforms like this, but also through with the community, a lot of running workshops, focus groups, trying to bring people together to learn from each other and bring up topics that are meaningful to the community. Like, how do we design with dignity? You know, what does fine dining look like? What does it look like for your the way in which you negotiate style when you have a degenerative disease and something's rapidly changing, like with ALS. And we work a lot with different nonprofits that are normally grassroots like ourselves, that have, you know, the heartbeat of the community. And we say, you know, what do you want to talk about? How can we have this conversation and look at topics that maybe aren't being addressed right now? So yeah, a mix match.
So before you go, how can people help support OpenStyle Lab?
Spread the word. Bring us around to talk to conferences. We're just here to spread the word as much as possible. If you're interested in joining us in any way, you know, send us an email at hello@openstylelab.org. Donate.
If someone wanted to donate, they go straight to the website.
Yeah, go straight to our website. We have a button there that goes straight to our PayPal. And yeah, everything counts. And just also, we love to have people involved in our organization. We have a lot of OTs on our team as well. We love people that are excited about this area because we're excited about it.
Could you use some Fox Rehabilitation OTs on that squad?
Yeah. We're always happy to have more.
All right. The call is out. The challenge is out to all of the Fox OTs listening to this episode. So Yasmin, thank you so much for the time today.
No, thank you very much for your interest as well.
And thank you for schooling me today. Style, different than fashion.
Yes.
Fashion fades, style is forever. Could we say that?
Yes, I think you could. But no, fashion is around trend. Style is about identity and personal expression.
We gotta put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Yasmin.
Thank you very much, Jim. And also thank you to Melody for introducing us.
Yes. Thank you to our friend Melody for hooking up this interview. So for Executive Director of Open Style Lab, Yasmin Keats, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yinz later.